You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It's my retro gaming podcast where for 71 weeks, a buddy of mine and I have sat down and geeked out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, episode 71, we are talking Ninja Gaiden on the NES. And some people may call it Ninja Gaiden, but they're fucking weird. It's Ninja Gaiden, one of the premier NES titles, in my opinion, that wasn't an actual Nintendo-made NES title. We all know this game. Most of us love this game. None of us can beat this fucking game. I'll get more into that in a few minutes. My guest this week is Bradley McHugh, and I'll be honest with you guys, we recorded this one quite a while ago, and I don't remember everything that we said, but I'm sure it's probably pretty good, so you're gonna hear that in a minute. Before we get to that, you know I gotta ramble. I also have some shout-outs I want to get out of the way for our Patreons and stuff. If you guys aren't interested in listening to me ramble about things such as Pokemon, Mario and Sonic gaming laptops, maybe look at the time to the description box below. There'll be a timestamp. It'll show you where to skip to, and you can just hear us talk about Ninja Gaiden. Thank you so much for all the good feedback about last week's episode. That one was solo. I talked about Ghostbusters for the NES, and actually, like, I got a lot of really good feedback. And so, like, admittedly, I may do a few more solo episodes down the road. I've done a couple now in the last couple of months between the Sega Genesis review and now the Ghostbusters episode. And honestly, dude, sometimes it's just easier than trying to get guests together and do all this kind of stuff. We're all busy. I know I work weird hours where I work at night and on the weekends and I'm home during the day when all the normal people are at work. So if you like the sound of my voice, fucking good stuff's coming. And if you don't, well, then you probably quit this show a long time ago. But yeah, lots of good feedback. So thank you all so much. And also a huge shout out to all of our Patreons. November 1st, the calendar just rolled over, so we're into another month. I'm going to have a prize draw up here in the next couple of days, giving away a gift card to the System of the Winner's Choice to all our supporters over there on Patreon. And I also want to give shout-outs to all of them. So if I screw up some of your names, you guys know how this works right now. But massive thank you so much to Tyler, Todd, Beak, Ben, Patrick J. Crossman, Lord Egbert, I hate that fucking name, and you know who you are, and I hate that name, Nigel, Michael Mathis, Mark McHugh, Luke Simpson, Keegan Wilson, Freezer Burnt, Josh from the Press Start to Join podcast, good friends of us here, John Taylor, Joe Buck, Jeffrey Mathis, Dave, Daniel Books, Christopher Sumner, Taco Shirt Chris, Bradley McHugh, Benjamin Barlow, Andre, and Thomas Christian. Thank you all so much for spending a little bit of your hard-earned money on this train wreck of a podcast. I really appreciate it a lot. And if you would like to hear your name read on the show, it feels like an old like kids TV show where you write in and they'll read your name. But if you want to hear your name on the show, if you want to be entered into a chance to win gift cards for the consoles of your choice, and if you want episodes of the podcast exclusive to you, sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/rememberthegame. I've already have plugged that in the brand new intro, probably. I think I'm going to record a new intro for this. As I'm recording this intro for this episode, I haven't recorded the new intro that's going to play before this intro, but I think I'm going to do that after I'm done this. So I'm going to stop plugging the Patreon now. You guys have gotten all of it. So, just actually one last quick thing for the Patreons. In case you are a Patreon supporter and you haven't already seen the email, I'm going to be switching the release order of the Patreon episodes this month. You're going to get the Q&A rambling one this Monday, the 11th, and then you'll get your game review one on Monday, the 25th. I just haven't been able to make the scheduling work out to record the game one. So if you have any questions, any topics, any suggestions, anything you want read on the Q&A one, please send them to me before Friday, November 6th, 7th, 8th. And I'll get them onto the episode, okay? Our downloads are up huge, you guys. From October last year to October this year, they're literally up over 1,000%, which is fucking crazy. We're coming up on like 800 downloads a week now, which I don't know if that's good for lots of people, but it's damned good for me. And so I really appreciate all you guys hanging around. And any of you that are giving shout-outs to the show on Twitter and stuff like that, know that I see it. Know that I know that you're telling your friends and stuff. And I really, really fucking appreciate it, man. This thing is going onward and upward. It's up and at 'em, and I am blown away at the support. So thank you all so much. I also wanted to talk about Pokemon for a minute because the new Pokemon game is coming out in like a week and a half, I think on the 15th or 16th of November, Pokemon Sword and Shield for the Nintendo Switch. And it's just crazy to me that like people are freaking out about it and about how they're not every Pokemon is in it. And now I guess spoilers are coming out and they're leaking stuff and things like that. And it's all, I'm trying to avoid all the leaks and the spoilers because I plan on buying it. And I don't know about you guys, but like whenever there's a movie I really want to see or like a video game I really want to play, I will go out of my way to avoid anything spoilery. I don't even really like to read reviews. I'll glance at like the score number and that's about it because I don't want anything spoiled for me. If I'm on the fence about something, then maybe I'll slowly wade into the spoiler pool and try to see what's going on with it. But this game I know I'm going to get is Pokemon. We have all been waiting for a home console Pokemon game since like day one. And I don't mean like Pokemon Stadium or one of the freak Pokemon games. I mean like a real Pokemon. And now we're finally getting it. And every time I log into Reddit and go to the Nintendo Switch boards, which by the way, if you by some fluke are one of the moderators of the Reddit Switch, Nintendo Switch community, you're a fucking Nazi and I hate you. They delete everything. I fucking hate them. But Pokemon Sword and Shield, everyone's freaking out. And like, oh, there's not enough Pokemon in it. And this is wrong. And this is like, I can't even go in there anymore because I feel like all it is people fucking whining about like what may or may not be in this game. We don't even have it yet. This is a game everyone's been wanting forever. So just shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up until the game comes out and try it and then see. I don't watch Star Wars, but it would be like everyone sees a Star Wars trailer and is like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. This is going to suck because Luke Skywalker isn't Obi-Wan Kenobi's something. I don't know anything about Star Wars. The point I'm trying to make is if you're passionate about something, then just enjoy it. Give it a chance before you shit all over it. Once it sucks, then shit all over it like we do with wrestling, but at least give it a shot first. I don't know. I think people need to calm the fuck down about Pokemon. I think this game is going to be rad. I'm pretty excited about it. I would say it's my most anticipated game of this year, but it's also the only anticipated game I have left of this year. But I'm pretty jacked. I mean, it's Pokemon. It's fucking home console 3D looking Pokemon. It's going to be rad. And of course, not every Pokemon is in it. Calm down. I'll talk more about it when that game comes out. But I just wanted to touch on the people freaking out about the spoilers and the leaks about it and be like, just fucking relax. How about you don't read spoilers and leaks and just wait and enjoy the game for what it is, for fuck's sakes. Speaking of Switch, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics just came out. And the reviews are like, okay, I won't play it. Those are just like, they're classic minigame compilations. I think they'd be fun to play with your friends for like a night, and that'd be it. It's too bad you can't still rent games, because they seem like they'd be a good rental for like a single night of playing, and then that's it. I can't believe these games keep coming out. Like, clearly they're selling, because they keep coming. Like, I mean, and like, it can't be cheap, because like, obviously, they're either paying for like the Mario and Sonic and all those character licenses, or they're paying for the Olympic licenses. I don't even know who makes these games. I don't know who's paying for what. But it's like the Dance Dance games with all the music and stuff in them. They keep coming out. Dance Dance is still coming out for the Wii, I think, or it just recently stopped. I don't know who the fuck is buying these, but somebody is. So if you're interested in Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, it just came out. It looks rad, actually. It's got like this retro mode in it where like you can go to like 16-bit Sonic characters, like 8-bit Mario characters. Like, I love 16-bit Sonic, man. I think he looks so awesome. And seeing him standing next to like 8-bit Bowser looks cool, just not enough to make me buy the game. Give me like a platforming game with that shit in it, and I'd be all over it. I've said that for years. I would love to see Nintendo get a hold of Sonic to make like a Mario and Sonic team up like platforming game. I don't know how it would work. People would probably not enjoy it. Because people don't enjoy anything these days. And like, I would rather play Mario than Sonic. So I don't know if I'd want to switch between the two, but I like the concept. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm saying. Just take them out of the fucking Olympics and have them go save the world or something. Have them save the Olympics there. And there's your platformer. That's what we want. I'm not really asking for advice on here yet. I'll get more to this in a few more months, but I'm looking at getting a new laptop for both recording gameplay off my capture card and stuff, and just to do some editing and things on. And I've started Googling them, and I'm completely lost. If you don't listen to our Patreon episodes, I talked about it a little bit on the Q&A one. Somebody asked me about why I'm not more into PC gaming. I don't get it. I don't get memory and RAM and fucking screen resolutions and stuff like that. But I'm starting to see some of these gaming laptops, and some of them look pretty rad, and I thought that'd be a cool thing to be able to take on the road, even just to play a couple of games on when I don't want to play my Switch. So I am going to be probably asking for some advice on a laptop in the future. Please don't freak out on me yet. I'm just curious, like, if anybody else is as intimidated by them as I am. Like, I was looking at them at Staples the other day because I went to buy a new chair, which, by the way, if it has sounded like I'm farting throughout this whole intro, it's my new chair breaking in. It's very creaky. And so, only a couple of them have actually been farts. But I was looking at some of the laptops just for a minute, and some of them look rad, but I was like, I read the specs and was like, that's French. I have no fucking idea what that says. So I don't know if that's just me or if anyone else doesn't get computers either. But people have been asking about the Let's Plays. You know, somebody actually just messaged me on Twitter and was like, hey, I just binge watched all of the Adam Sucks at Video Games Let's Plays, and where the fuck are the rest of them? More coming. I say it every week, probably in the new year. I just don't have time until after Christmas season is over for comedy, and I really need a new computer to do that kind of stuff with. So I'm looking into that. We'll get more into that when I need your help. I don't want all your help yet. I mean, I don't need all the fucking computer nerds being like, what you want is a Quantum 4 processor in your axle drive with the Magnum. And I'm like, I don't know, fuck, or whatever it is you guys say. Okay, quickly, before I get into what I've been playing and talk Ninja Gaiden, I'll be in Calgary, tonight. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be Wednesday, November 6th. I'll be performing at Yuck Yucks. I don't know where it is in Calgary. Elbow River Casino, I think, at a 7 o'clock show. I'm showcasing four Yuck Yucks to try to get them to sign me and give me more work. So, if you're in Calgary and you want to come, that'd be cool. Say hi. And then this weekend, people are always yelling at me saying, when are you performing in Edmonton and not hosting? Because I host a lot of comedy shows. I will be at Edmonton's Yuck Yucks this weekend, Friday and Saturday, three shows. Message me if you'd like to get on my guest list. I'll be doing like 20, 25 minute sets. You're actually going to hear some of my jokes. Should be a lot of fun. So message me. All right, there. I don't usually plug my comedy on here, but it's my job. I have to do it sometimes. When I'm not telling jokes, I've been playing video games. And you might be wondering, what have I been playing? There's my segue into what have I been playing over the last 7 days. Primarily Dragon Quest Builders 2, still on my Switch. Love it. Minecraft meets Dragon Quest meets hack and slash. It's fun. Little wordy, like a lot wordy. I shouldn't say a little. It's a lot, like so much fucking conversation between the characters, and a lot of it is very boring and monotonous. I just want to play. But the gameplay is good enough to make me power through the reading. fucking, what does that say about me as far as my intellect goes when I'm like, I'm powering through the reading so I can play the video game because I'm a fucking idiot. But Dragon Quest Builders 2, and then admittedly, I had a very lucrative comedy gig a few days ago. It paid a lot better than I expected to, so I treated myself to Luigi's Mansion 3 on the Switch. I wasn't going to buy any new games. I got lots to play with all the retro stuff, plus Dragon Quest Builders, but Luigi's Mansion looks cool, and my thought is I can beat it in the next 10 days and then trade it in toward Pokemon Sword or Shield, and so far so good. I've never played a Luigi's Mansion game. I played the GameCube one for like an hour and wasn't feeling it, and honestly, I felt like that about this one for the first like half hour. I was like, its controls are fucking weird and slow, and what the fuck, what's going on here? But it screams that Nintendo charm, and I'm really starting to feel it. So if you're on the fence about Luigi's Mansion 3, I would say wait for a sale on it, but it'll probably never go on sale because it's Nintendo. It's pretty good. it's probably worth picking up if you're into the Luigi and like puzzle games. I'm enjoying it. So as soon as I'm done this, I'm going to go play it for a little while. But that is what I'm going to be playing. Let's talk about what we played a long time ago, and like specifically 1989, and that is Ninja Gaiden on the NES. That's why you guys are here. Again, I can't remember what we said about it. Bradley McHugh is my guest. We recorded this thing 2+ months ago, but I know that we had a good conversation about it. We all remember this game. It makes me fucking mad. I'm sure it makes most of you mad, but at the same time, I want to keep playing it. So to me, there's something good here. You know what I mean? For all the frustration and the difficulty and stuff like that, it looks rad. It plays good. The music is awesome, and it's fun. You keep going back to it. I literally have been playing it on my Switch online, prepping for this podcast, and I was like, fuck, this is actually a pretty good, albeit frustrating game. And it screams retro. I just unplugged my headphones, but I'm going to keep talking because I think the microphone is still working. I punched my own hand to make the point and unplug my headphones because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm taking them off. It screams retro, this game. It fucking screams retro, even if Sega did better. And they did, quite frankly. Shinobi 3, episode 64 of the podcast. I played Shinobi for the first time and was like, this is like a better Ninja Gaiden. But having said that, Nintendo still did good, right? Like the Ninja Gaiden games are rad. This one originally came out for the NES in March of 1989. I am going to cue some music and kick back with my pal Bradley as we look back on the classic Ninja Gaiden for the NES. You guys, enjoy the episode. Sorry about the crappy intro. I'm rambling all over the place. Just shut the fuck up. Get to the game. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Okay, this is, I have no idea what order these are going up in, but this is the third, we've been sitting here podcasting for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Just churning them out. So,
sweating.
In case this is the first one, I'll introduce him again. Joining me this week is the superior McHugh brother, Bradley McHugh. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very, very well. Extremely excited to be on the show and talk about some extremely hard games.
It's
kind of my forte.
And so the last couple of games we've talked about, we're not going to reveal them in case they come up in a different order. One's kind of hard. One's really not that hard. This game, this is like...
Dude, fuck this game.
This is one of the... I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to say it because I've known we were going to talk about this for a while. As you know from the intro, we're talking Ninja Gaiden. Do you pronounce Gaiden or Gaiden?
Gaiden.
We're going Gaiden.
I believe it's Gaiden.
If you say Gaiden, then you're fucking weird. It's Gaiden.
You know what? I think it's one of those tomato-tomato things, but who says tomato?
Exactly. If you say Gaiden, you're one of the tomato weirdos that nobody likes.
Yeah, so, if you say tomato to me, I'm going to give you a fucking right hook.
Yeah, well... No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck them. fuck them. So we're talking Ninja Gaiden, and I've been trying to figure out how I want to say this. Ninja Gaiden is one of the best bad games ever made.
That makes sense to me because it's so extremely well-designed, but to purposely fuck with you.
It's so fuck. Okay, and I wanted to get a plug-in, and I don't always plug other people's projects on here, not because I don't want to. It's just that, like... admittedly, like, I've been on podcasts where I plug my podcast, and by the time we're done the podcast, nobody even remembers that I plugged it. But having said that, you guys, you've Let's Plays.
Yeah.
And you guys just played through this game, did you not?
What we did recently, I have a YouTube channel called Impossible Gaming. It's like a heavily edited show. It takes a really long time to make, but each episode is about a different hard game that we play until one of us just fucking... cries like a baby and gives up. We always say that the attempt is to beat the game, but we've never beat a game.
Right.
They're all fucking crazy. But one of the first ever episodes we did was on Ninja Gaiden, and that was like 5 years ago.
Okay.
It was a really long time ago. We did Ninja Gaiden. Then like a few years ago, we did the one on Xbox. And then about a few weeks ago, we released an episode on Ninja Gaiden 2 and 3 for the NES.
Oh, okay.
So now we've done the full Ninja Gaiden trilogy on the NES plus the Xbox game.
Okay. And you haven't finished any of them?
No, never finished any of them. They're fucking insane. Dude. They're impossible.
It's fucking... I've been playing this one on the Switch NES Online to prep for this podcast.
Yeah.
And even using save states and the rewind feature of it, I can't beat it.
It's too hard. Yeah, I was playing it in the airport a couple of weeks ago.
That's ballsy. A game that's going to bring this much profanity out of a man?
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
There was definitely some people with kids giving me a dirty look like, what is this guy's problem?
Dude, this, like, okay. And here's the thing about Ninja Gaiden. To me, this, and I was actually just Facebook messaging with, I want to say Sean. Dude, I don't have it in front of me, so if I got your name wrong, I'm sorry. With one of our listeners on our Facebook page about these old video games. And like Ninja Gaiden to me is the epitome of this. So many of these games, if you're good at it, you could beat Ninja Gaiden in probably an hour.
Maybe less.
It's like they put these stupid difficulty spikes in to make sure that you didn't beat the game the night you brought it home, right?
Well, the problem with this game is that half of the reason it's very difficult is awesome design, and the other half is garbage design.
Okay, right. You're right. There's one specific design element that jacks the difficulty of this game up to 200, and I'm sure we both know what it is. Yeah. It's that fucking bounce back when you get hit.
Yeah, you bounce back. It's like there's a magnet in every hole, and as soon as you get hit, it's like, whoa, it's down into the hole.
When you get hit, like your main character, what's his name?
Ryu Hayabusa.
Ryo it is. Whenever Ryo gets hit, he literally bounces 25% of the screen back.
Ryu, which is funny because I think his father's name is Ken, or someone else in the game is named Ken.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's Ryu. But yeah, every time he gets bounced back, Ryu is just in a hole.
Always, because there's so many holes, and bad guys respawn. Not even when like their spawn point goes off screen. It's like if their spawn point gets near the edge of the screen.
Yes, and that is probably my biggest complaint.
Oh! So there'll be like these, like just one of many examples of the fucking eagles or hawks or whatever the fuck they are. Birds.
And the bats.
And those fucking bats. And they like this is like the last two episodes we've recorded today have been nice, laid back, fun. This one I'm getting fucking, ooh. I'm awake now.
Now you're sweatier than
ever. Now I'm getting angry. These fucking bird things like swoop at you. They're so hard to hit. They're so hard to dodge. And then if you even move like a fucking 16th of that screen back during your fight, it's coming back. Yeah, you've got to get through back. it again and again. Ugh! And then when they hit you, there's a hole somewhere and it's going to bounce you into it. It never bounces you away from the hole ever.
Well, and like the thing is too, is that I can't think of very many NES games, aside from this one, where the control is perfect. And this game, the control is perfect.
It is.
Like you play Contra, and it's like, yeah, this feels kind of wrong. You know, it's right. good, but it feels kind of wrong. Or, like, Castlevania is a great example.
Castlevania, because I like Contra, but Castlevania is a spot-on example. The jumping in Castlevania is fucked.
Yeah, the jumping doesn't feel quite right. It feels wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I'm one of the biggest perpetuators of Castlevania. It's one of my favorite franchises of all time. But it feels weird, yeah. and it also has that bounce back.
The fucking bounce back.
Which is worse in that game, but it's awful in Ninja Gaiden.
I agree. And you're right. The controls in Ninja Gaiden are, like, to me, the only... Because, like, listen, the NES has, like, 700 or 800 games.
Mm-hmm.
And of that 700 or 800 games, like... And I'm a Nintendo guy. I love the NES. Of that 700 or 800... Hey, buddy. Of that 700 or 800 games, cat just jumped up on me for some reason.
George, what are you doing?
A pup. I have a dog. What was I talking? Oh yeah, of the 700 or 800 NES games, there are 200 that are good to great.
Yes,
there 3 out of 4 NES games are hot garbage.
Yeah,
they just are.
When you look at the NES library, it's like you got your Mega Mans, you got your Mario's, your first Legend of Zelda.
Like the Contras are good.
The Contras are good. The Castlevanias are good. Yep. Castlevania 1 and 3 are good. Yeah. And you know what? I don't hate 2. And then what else? What else is there?
There's the beat 'em ups, like the Double Dragons and the River City Ransoms.
Yeah,
and stuff like
Double
that.
Dragon, and even Double Dragon, I'll argue with you a little bit on that one. I'm not a big fan.
I'm not either, yeah. but they're not awful.
But
Punch Out,
Bucky O'Hare. If you ever played that, that's a good game.
Yeah, the Disney games like DuckTales.
Yeah, DuckTales rules.
Fucking right, it does. Yeah, Chip and Dale, those.
Yeah, Rescue Rangers.
So there's good games, but like for all those, there's a ton of bad games.
Yeah, just
and to me the. Only reason Ninja Gaiden doesn't fall into that bad game slog is because the controls are tight.
The controls are amazing.
That is the only thing saving it, okay? Because like the thing is without that bounce back, I think you could beat this game pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's what kills you. I don't know about you, man, but like there were very few times during my replays of it where I died due to taking more damage. It was almost always because I got Cat just walking across our mixer now. Cats are the best. They're like, fuck off.
Come here.
Get away from me. But there's very few times I died because I ran out of health.
Yeah.
I died because I got knocked down a fucking hole.
Well, and you know what's the worst part about the holes, too? And this is something, like, if you've seen, if you watched my YouTube videos on this, it's something that I talk about a lot, is that there's sections of this game, and it's hard to describe, where you have to go down a ladder. And the ladder is beside another wall.
Yeah.
But the wall goes the same way as the ladder. And if you use your climb mechanic to climb down the wall instead of the ladder, it kills you.
Even though it's going the exact same place.
It's going to the same fucking place. It's such bullshit, dude. It's huge bullshit. Or if you try to jump down the hole that the ladder is going down, that also kills you.
Right. And the thing about it is, like, on the NES, there's a lot of, like... Because like most of the NES games are fucking stupidly difficult because they had to drag them out, right? But having said that, there are stupidly difficult games with controls good enough to make up. Like Mega Man's a perfect example. I'm a Mega Man super fan. Dude, I beat all of them. I fucking adore all of them.
I love Mega Man 2 is one of my favorite games ever made.
Right. And Mega Man 2 is, for my money, one of the easier ones.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, but like, it's pretty easy.
But even like the first one, like the first Mega Man is a... fucking viciously difficult game, but the controls are good.
I've never beat the first one. It's so hard,
but the controls are good, and that makes it doable.
Yeah,
whereas this game, it's like I don't understand, even literally as I'm playing it and dying and getting frustrated and save stating and rewinding over and over and over and over, I'm like, I don't get why I'm having fun. But I'm having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and Ninja Gaiden,
about it.
Ninja Gaiden is fun.
It is fun.
All three of them, especially because like the second one, like they introduce all these new mechanics. Like there's a wind mechanic that's really cool. And the third one has voice acting. Like every time you use your weapon, the guy goes, yeah. And you're like, man, that's insane. They put that into, because like even like Zelda didn't have voice acting till like 98.
Yeah, the only like NES game I can think of with voice acting is Blades of Steel
or
Ghostbusters. I gotta do an episode of that game sometime.
Yeah, fuck, that game sucks.
I love that game, even though I know it sucks.
but like Blades of Steel, like I still don't know if they say it's the pass or it's a pass. I can't tell what the fuck they say. But that's pretty credible that they put voice acting into
it. He makes like a when you use the sword, and it sounds pretty good. Like it's chipped, you know.
Right.
You can definitely tell it's chipped. But and that third one is by far the hardest one, because the first two are hard, but they have infinite continues. Right. Ninja Gaiden 3 does not.
Right, so with patience, you could beat it.
With patience, you could beat any of these games.
Right.
But that third one, you would have to have way more patience than I have.
There's something special about these games that are so... Because, like, there are mind-numbingly difficult games on the NES that, like, I was just, like, after a while, I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, how many more times am I going to fucking try this before I'm like, this sucks. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, there are a few of them, and Ninja Gaiden is one, and another one that jumps out to me right away that, like, no one has ever beat, but everyone loves, is Battletoads.
Yeah.
Like, where they're so hard, but you're like, there's something fun about dying all the time, you know?
Yeah, especially because those two games, Ninja Gaiden and Battletoads, they are so, first of all, visually appealing.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, 100%.
Visually appealing. Ninja Gaiden's a great-looking game most of the time. There's that jungle level that looks like shit, but the rest of it's pretty good-looking. Battletoads maybe more so good-looking than Ninja Gaiden. But those two games, like, even though you're dying over and over again, at the very least it has some goddamn mercy.
Totally.
Where it's like, okay, yeah, you died, but let's just put you back at the beginning of the level that you're already at.
Yeah.
You know, we're not gonna kick you to the front of the game. And I think Battletoads eventually does, if you fuck up enough.
Ugh.
Eventually it's like, oh, you don't play this anymore.
I love that game, and I don't know why.
Yeah, me too.
But I feel like that about that. Like, okay, but here's the thing about Ninja Gaiden. I just did it.
Oh, you did the thing.
Tomato. Here's the thing about Ninja Tomato. That's what I'm going
to
call it now.
I contractually have to give you a right hook.
You got to punch me now. Every aspect of it, minus this goddamn bounce back difficulty thing, is good. Like, the graphics are very, very good. The boss fights are fun. I adore the soundtrack to this game.
Oh, it's super
good.
Dude,
there are some episodes of this podcast where I'm like, when I go to edit it, I'm like, what music am I going to get? Like, we just did Resident Evil 4, and I was like, there's no music.
Yeah,
you got the save room music.
Yeah.
It's like that only kind of good music.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this game, I'm like, I can't wait to fucking listen to the music to this game.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
I love it. They try to put a story in. I don't really follow the story.
One thing I will give this game credit for, though, is that it's like one of, if not the first, maybe the first NES game to have like actual cutscenes.
Yeah.
Like, this game has cutscenes between each level that sort of tie the story apart. And the story's bullshit. It's like something like a secret statue with hidden ancient power, yada, 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 stolen by... guy with a beard.
You end up skipping them.
Yeah.
You just want to play the game.
Yeah, there's a part where a girl shoots you and then turns out it was a tranquilizer gun and she just needed to talk to you or whatever, right? It's dumb bullshit. And the second and third one, it's even more so dumb bullshit.
Right.
Because it's like, I already saved the world, guys. Like, what else do you want from me? And they're like, well, you're the legendary Ryu Hayabusa, so let's just do it all over again.
Yeah. But I respect them for trying. You know what I mean? Like, it was... like, so the graphics are good, the music's phenomenal, the story, at least there's a story there. Mm-hmm. You're not just some guy, like even, like, I love the Contra games, but, like, I have no idea why I'm killing these people.
Oh, Contra Guy 1 and Contra Guy 2?
I'm just running to the right, shooting everything that moves.
Yeah.
Whereas Gaiden, at least they're trying to explain it. The controls, for the most part, are good and fun. I love the... Although it feels broken at times, I love the wall climbing mechanic.
Yeah, wall climbing and wall jumping.
Because that was kind of new at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is like every game you can wall jump now. But like when this one came out, I was like, oh, that's kind of rad. You can like climb up. Like you're not just running across the bottom of the screen. You can climb up to different areas and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Well, in this game had something weird in it too that I always notice every time I play it is that in the first level, you can see billboards with like Coca-Cola ads.
Which is
so weird because like now that's pretty commonplace. Like you play an NHL game and it's like here's every Gatorade commercial you've ever seen put into a video game.
Yeah.
But like on the NES, I can I think Ninja Turtles you could get Pizza Hut.
That's what I was just gonna say. Turtles 2, like Pizza Hut. I was reading about that. Turtles 2. Which if you're a Turtles 2 fan, maybe keep an eye on the podcast.
Ooh, I love Turtles.
Or maybe it's already come out. I don't know.
Who knows?
I never know the orders. But yeah, Pizza Hut like paid good money to get their name put in that game. But it's a great product placement.
Well, and Ninja Turtles 2, that's just a port of the arcade game.
Yeah.
With, like, some extra levels, I think.
Which
makes it actually... I love Turtles 2, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, we're not.
We're here to talk about Ninja Gaiden,
which is not as good as Turtles 2.
Yeah. And this game, it does so many things right. Like, all the bosses are, like... They have, like, a pattern to them, which was pretty new at the time, right? Maybe, like, Bowser had, like, the jumping and hammer-throwing pattern.
Yeah.
But, like... Having a boss that has a predictable pattern and you have to go in, it's almost like Dark Souls, right? Like,
yeah.
Where you have to, you're like, okay, I got 4 seconds to do 3 hits, then I have to jump back. He does his thing.
Right.
I have to dodge it in whatever way possible. And then 4 seconds, 3 hits, jump back.
Yeah. You can't, like, after about the first boss in Ninja Gaiden, you can't just go in guns blazing being like, I'm just going to outstrike him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like there are bosses in some video games where you, like Mega Man's a great example, where you can go in with no strategy and just be like, I am just going to shoot him more times than he shoots me.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't do that in Gaiden.
Yeah, Mega Man, there's no strategy. It's just like, all right, especially like once you start, when you're playing a Mega Man game, like once you get closer to the end, you're like, okay, so this guy's fire. I got a water thing. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, Ninja Gaiden, like you got to pick your spots and shit because otherwise they'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
They will fucking kill you.
Yeah, and if you're too close, they'll fucking kill you. If you're too far away, you don't have enough time to hit them.
And that's one of the things that I actually like about Ninja Gaiden is like, so other side, like, I mean, you can pick up the different items and then you can use them until you run out of energy.
There's projectiles and stuff.
Which is rad. But when you don't have those and all you have is that dinky little sword.
It's got no reach.
Dude, fighting a boss with that thing fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you, but like, so you can pick up like, What I hate a little bit about picking up the items is, like, I still don't know what all of them do by seeing the logo. Like, I have to pick it up and then learn.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when I play, like, a Contra game, like, I know that, like, I'm looking for the spread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I have to find is spread. Nothing else matters.
Yeah. If you get the missile one that, like, shoots the Homer missiles, you're like, ah, fuck, I need the spread.
Right, yeah. Whereas, like, in Ninja Gaiden, I'll pick up a new item every time I see it. And half the time, because like to find them, you have to slice like lanterns and shit that are like hanging around. But a lot of the time, because your fucking sword is so short, you'll pick them up without even meaning to. Like as you strike the lantern, you're going to pick up whatever it drops.
Well, that's like the ghouls and ghosts thing, right? Where you have the knife, and then you're like, all right, perfect, I got the knife. You pick something else up, and you're like, no,
yeah,
please no.
And that's so like I found that frustrating because like honestly, like the weapon I wanted the most in Ninja Gaiden was either the one where you swing your sword and it shoots like the oval of fire that kind of goes up, or the one where you throw the star that like kind of goes back and forth and comes at you.
Yeah. The Shuriken's like personally my favorite, but there are bosses who have immunities to certain items too. So if you go in and you're like, I've got the Shuriken, perfect, and then you throw the Shuriken and it goes tink, and you're son of a bitch, dude, he's got armor.
Yeah, because if you try to fight some of those bosses and like you don't have your special item to go in there with you, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like there are some. I mean, maybe I'm just not that good, but there are bosses that I can't beat.
You can beat them with the sword, but you can't. My big problem with this game is that what always happens is I'll be fighting like I'll find out my item is useless against the boss, and I'll start fighting him with the sword, and I'll find a pattern.
Right.
But then when he gets like close to the end, I'll be like, okay, well maybe I'll sneak in a fourth hit.
Yeah.
I try to sneak in that fourth hit. Bam, I'm dead.
And that's what happens is you get impatient and you're like, no, fuck that, and then they fuck you up.
Yeah.
It And there are some, like, and the other thing is, like, because to use your special items, you have to pick up, I don't even know what it is, like magic, I guess?
Yeah, I think so.
But you run out, you know, so you have to, like, ration it. And basically, I don't know about you, but, like, I try to just save it for the boss.
Yeah, I never use it on, like, regular enemies.
And what frustrates me is I almost feel like at some points the levels are designed to where, like, well, this would be really easy if I used my special item. But if I do that, then I won't be able to beat the fucking boss at the end. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but I'm torn because, like, say they get rid of that magic mechanic and you can just use whatever item you pick up.
Then it becomes
then the
game's
too easy.
Yeah.
Like, that's, and to me, that's where Ninja Gaiden is, like.
It's hard to find a medium for this game, I think.
I feel like Ninja Gaiden is in this weird place where it's better than all the shitty NES games, but I don't think it's good as, like, those good NES games.
Yeah, yeah.
It's stuck in the middle.
Yeah. It's sort of in a weird limbo.
And the difficulty is the reason. Like, the difficulty makes it better than the shitty games, but not as good as the good ones. Like, it's a very polarizing game.
Like,
you know?
I said, like, half the difficulty is, you know, genuinely good game design, and half the difficulty is fucking bullshit,
yeah,
dude.
It is. Like, I swear to God, like, I've been, like, on the, I guess for people that don't have a Switch, maybe you don't know, even though I talk about it every week. But for the Switch Online, they have Nintendo games and or NES games, and Gaiden is on there. And you can save state anytime you want, and they've added a rewind.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, so, like, dude, literally, I was playing this, like, 2 days ago, and I would die, and I would just rewind, like, 10 seconds back to where I was, and die again, and then rewind. And I was like, if I owned this as a kid, and I was like, oh, there's my 3 deaths, and now I gotta fucking start this level over and get it again, I would get so angry. And there's no save state, like, there's no passwords, there's no anything, which was an original Nintendo fucking trademark. Like, you was beat it in one sitting, you could leave the Nintendo on, turn the TV off, and hope your parents didn't see you left the Nintendo on all day.
Yeah, they see the little red light, and
I used
like,
to do it all
the
time.
What the fuck's going on
over
there?
My brother and I would put the controller in front of the red light, because we had our own TV down in the basement with our NES on it.
Yeah.
And my mom would always give a shit for leaving it on all day. She's like, you're going to break it. You're going to overheat it and break it. And as we've all learned now in 2019, you can't break an NES. That thing is a fucking brick.
Yeah, my NES, I still have the same NES from when I was a kid, and it still works like a motherfucker.
The only thing that works, that breaks a little bit, is the 72 chip or whatever the fuck it's called.
Disc-based systems break way more often. I'm on my third PS2, my second Wii, I think.
The Xbox 360, the Red Ring of Death.
True story, my PS3 actually bricked yesterday.
Fuck
yeah, super, like, sucks.
Those old consoles, man, the NES, the Super Nintendo, the Genesis, like, those old consoles
still
last
on,
forever.
Still on number one for all those. My first N64 is the one I've got upstairs.
So I wish if I could go back, you know, people are always like, if you could go back in time and give your young self some advice, what would you do? And I'd be like, I would go to my mom and be like, he can leave his NES on all day. It won't fucking, like, just don't ruin his life.
Your genie wish is like, please go back in time, tell my mom not to turn off my fucking games.
I would have had better grades because I would have paid more attention in school, because instead of paying attention, I was thinking about, like, oh, fuck, I hope she didn't turn it off. I'm on World 6 of Super Mario 3. Don't turn it off now. You know what I mean?
And at the time, nobody knew about the whistles.
No. Well, I refused to use them. Yeah. As, like, a kid, I was like, no, I'm a fucking man.
Well, and with the NES Online on the Nintendo Switch too, right? Like, I try very hard not to use save states unless I think it's fair.
Right.
Because a lot of the time, like, these NES games, it's like, oh, okay, you have to beat it in one sitting, and it's like, I'm an adult, I have a job, I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah.
You know? So I you know, if I'm playing, like, for instance, when I played Super Mario Brothers 2 recently, I would do a save state at the beginning of each level.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, if you're, like, if you just want to save your games, not so that you can, like, spam reload.
Yeah.
Which I have done in some games. you know, but, like, if you don't want to use it for that, but you just want to use it because you're like, yeah, I have to go to work, or I have to go hang out with my wife or my husband or whatever, my kids, I guess. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, some people feel like, I know there are a lot of people out there that are traditionalists that want to play these games on the original hardware it came out on, and no save states or anything like that. I totally get it. We just did a collecting episode. I used to love collecting games. I used to love playing them on those old systems. But, like, let's just be honest. Like, it's just more convenient, you know? And then it's a personal thing. Do you want to cheat and spam save states to beat stuff? Or
do
you want to just use it to hold your place so you can come back to the game?
That's like the thing too for me, right? Is that you know, I'm a big collector. I've got a pretty big collection upstairs, and I have Ninja Gaiden on the NES, and I've played this game recently. But do you think I pulled out my NES and popped in it? Fuck no.
No,
I played it on the Switch because it's easy.
It's so convenient.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and I'm like that with a lot of the, like, to me, there are certain NES games that have aged. They haven't aged well. but mm-hmm. save states and the rewinds and stuff have made them more playable.
Yeah, especially in Ninja Gaiden, because like if you can beat that game in one sitting, all hail the king, because that's phenomenal.
You're a monster. Yeah. And like in so many of these old games just didn't have like, even the password system was handy, but like Super Mario 3 is a great example. Like if you want to go old school and beat every world in that game, that's a long haul. You know, and there's no save state. There's no passwords. There's nothing.
And I think back to how much, like, how resilient I was as a kid compared to now. Because, like, as a kid, I remember one time playing through Contra and beating it. And now I'm like, man, how the fuck did I have that much patience?
Yeah.
That I was like, yeah, I'm going to play through this game that you can only die three times and it's crazy difficult and play it all the way to the end. Like, how did I have that patience?
But part of that was like, when you're a kid, you only have like, I mean, how often did you get a new game?
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? So it was like, I mean, like
birthdays and Christmas.
I just did a playthrough of Bart versus the Space Mutants on YouTube.
Fuck that game.
And I can beat that game. Like, I can beat that game. Legit, not cheating. I can beat, I mean, I did load save states to fight that fucking T-Rex in the museum, but I can beat it. Like, I've beaten that game since I was a kid. But the reason I can do that was because that's the only games I had. So you have no choice but to just play them over and over and over again. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever played the Shinobi games?
Yeah. I played, I think, what is it? Shadow Dancer, I think, was it? And that's, like, one of the hardest fucking games I've ever played.
Okay.
It's way harder, and the controls are shit, so it's the game's fault.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fair, then. If it's the game's fault, that's fine. Because I've only ever played number 3.
Yeah, I've only played, I think, Shadow Dancer is number 2.
Okay. Yeah. And there... Shinobi 3, an episode, will be out before this one, so I can say that. And the only reason I played it was because as I've been saying on here, I'm looking for recommendations for old games that I haven't played. I want to, you know. And Miklos was like, "Dude, try Shinobi 3." He was like, "It's like a better Ninja Gaiden."
Is it better?
And yeah, I was like, "This is fucking dope." And I texted him that night when I was playing it. I was like, "Dude, this is what Ninja Gaiden should have been."
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it so much more. But it still felt the same. You're this fucking ninja with this little sword, and you pick up items and magic. And well, you don't pick up items of magic. You throw like little ninja stars.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, Ninja Gaiden to me is like, it's fine. But like every single thing Ninja Gaiden does has been done infinitely better.
Yeah, and like, you know? Ninja Gaiden, like I can't think of a game that just intentionally pisses me off more than Ninja Gaiden, and they meant it.
Oh yeah,
they want you to be pissed off.
Yep.
They want you to look at the game and be like, "Fuck this." They want you to throw the cartridge out, feel bad, and then have to go and buy another one.
Yeah. That was their marketing plan.
Yeah,
it's a good game. I don't know. I think. I can't imagine it's on too many people's like 10 best NES game lists or anything.
No, I wouldn't say it's on my top 10.
But it's good, but yeah, it certainly doesn't fall into that shitty NES. Like, it's memorable. It was on the NES Classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the NES Online.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, like, everyone's played it. It's just one of those games everyone played as a kid.
And it's like, it's almost like Tecmo didn't like learn from their mistakes, because the second one has the same problems.
Right.
Just with added mechanics, like the wind mechanic, which is pretty cool. I think there's like a train, maybe the train level's in the third one. The third one's the best one, but it's also the hardest one.
Of course.
Because like their biggest fuck up they made was they're like, all right, here's the third one. It's the best one we've got. It's got the best level design, the tightest controls. The sword works way better, but no unlimited continues. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I'm all set on that.
Dude, you said it earlier in the episode, but like comparing it to Dark Souls, I fucking hate Dark Souls. But comparing it to Dark Souls is perfect. It's the NES Dark Souls. It's fucking Ninja Gaiden.
Pretty bananas game.
You got any thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
I mean, if you're good at video games, maybe give it a shot. I'm not that good. That's the problem.
Same. Yeah. Same thing.
I'm not that good. I like to play video games. I play a variety, so I'm not very good at one specific game.
Yeah.
So I'm not good at games. So maybe maybe it's all my fault.
No. It's that fucking game's fault.
Yeah, it's Tecmo's fault. Fuck all them.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so then out of 100 falls down a fucking hole. How many falls down a hole would you give Ninja Gaiden?
75 falls down the hole.
All right.
Which is about how many I would have in a general just 10 minutes of playing that game.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go 65.
65.
It's passable.
Yeah.
It's not special. I'm not going to rant about it again. Some people have shit on the way Nintendo is rolling out their old games now with the online service where you just get a whole bunch of games at once like Netflix. Ninja Gaiden is a perfect example of a game that I would not be playing if it wasn't included in this download. I would not pay $5 to download Ninja Gaiden.
Absolutely. And the weird thing is that's actually one of the games that when I had my first Wii when it first came out, I used the shit out of that virtual console. And that was one of the first games I bought was Ninja Gaiden. And I remember buying it and it was, because like the NES games were like $5. Like it was cheap.
Yep.
And I remember buying it and then playing it for a bit and then being like, well, that was $5, you know?
And that's it. They just haven't aged well. And and the ones that have are the ones that you and I already talked about, that long list. And Ninja Gaiden is not on that list.
No.
But it's also not in that fucking urban champion shit pile that everyone hates.
Street Fighter 2010.
It is what it is. It's okay. Go play it. It's on everything.
Yeah.
So that is one. Go, if you have like 20 minutes to kill and you feel like you're like, I need to get angry.
It's fun. It is fun.
It is fun, but you're going to be angry.
Yeah.
And so if you like, if there's something coming up, like say you're about to go to like a meeting with your boss or something and you're like, I got to get angry. Go out to your car, fire up your Switch, and play Ninja Gaiden for 15 minutes. And you're nice and angry.
Then grab your boss by the collar and be like, why'd I fall down that fucking hole?
Yeah, yeah. It was a fucking bird. It didn't even bounce me back. And don't say Ninja Gaiden like I did once. Don't be that fucking guy.
Don't be that guy. Don't be the tomato guy.
Don't be the tomato guy. good stuff. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, guys. And that's going to do it for this week's episode. Bradley, thank you so much for coming over and talking Ninja Gaiden with me. And to every single one of you people, thank you for putting this podcast. I was going to call you beautiful people, but you know, some of you maybe not. I mean, we're gamers. We know what we are. But thank you all for putting this podcast in your ear holes and listening. If you enjoyed it, leave us a good review. I would really love that. Sometimes I read those reviews when I'm feeling sad and they make me feel slightly less sad. Leave us a good review. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame. There's no RE at the front, just MemberTheGame. Facebook.com/RememberTheGame. And most importantly, Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. You can get a whole bunch of bonus stuff. It's worth your $2, I promise. There's much worse ways to waste $2 a month than on our Patreon. That's going to do it, you guys. Have a great week. Go play some video games. Stay warm if you live somewhere where it's snowing like we fucking do here in Edmonton. And I will be back next week with episode 72 of Remember the Game as we climb toward 100 and eternal greatness or whatever. All right, good enough. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you later. Cheers. Bye.